Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John 12, 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
People say that you are not supposed to speak these three things in the public. When I was growing up as a boy, this was taught to me. I don't think that's the case here in the Netherlands. These three things you are not supposed to talk in the public. Number one, religion. Even you are among your friends, don't talk about religion in the common place. Second, politics. Don't talk in the public. Third, sex. In the common place, these three topics you should avoid. I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm just saying that these three things we normally say we shouldn't be talking loudly when you are in a marketplace. But one of the things that we don't talk at all while we live on this earth, that is about our death, my death. Have I ever talked about my death? I know my mother, who is 94, talks about death. But do I talk about my death? Have you ever talked about your death? We don't talk, right? Jesus, at the very young age, has been talking about his death. He talked to his disciples about his death. The disciples were annoyed. "You are only 33. Why you had to talk about death?" Everything is going on very well. You have brought a big movement. People are coming in big number. Why you are talking about death? In fact, if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three Gospels record about Jesus at least speaking three times openly, clearly about his death. In fact, he gives details how he would be killed, how on the cross he would suffer and be killed. He talks about that. We are in John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, Jesus is talking about his death indirectly. He gives a hint of how he would be killed. He talks about death even at a very, very early age. Now we are in chapter 12. We read the passage from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. There are two strange things happening in this passage. Number one, some Greeks came to the disciples and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Jesus is acting strangely. All along, if you look at Jesus' ministry in John's Gospel, he was always welcoming people. At midnight, Nicodemus came to see Jesus. He opened the door and he welcomed him. Jesus was standing and talking with the Samaritan woman all alone. He was always welcoming, always receiving. In this passage, when these people wanted to see Jesus, Jesus is acting strangely. He is talking about his death. We really do not know whether Jesus met these Greeks. I doubt he met with them. The second strange thing is, all along Jesus said, "My hour has not come." Chapter 2, Jesus said, "My hour has not come." His own brothers and sister said, "Go to Jerusalem." Jesus said, "My hour has not come." But in this passage, Jesus says, "My hour has come." Strange things. Now, what Jesus is saying in this passage, I'll give a short summary and then we will go and discuss about it. In fact, Jesus is talking about his death and he says two things to us. If you want to see me on the cross. If you want to come to me, you have to understand why I died on the cross. Do you want to see me? See me crucified. That's number one. Number two, Jesus is teaching here that if you want me to live in you, you have to die yourself. Be crucified so that I can live in you. This is what Jesus is pretty much preaching from this passage. If you have your Bibles, keep your Bibles open. Let's see what we can learn. As I said, some Greeks came to Philip saying to him that we wish to see Jesus. Why did they go to Philip? Philip is from Bethsaida. His name appears to be a Greek name. These people are from Bethsaida, Galilee, Greeks. So whom should we go to approach? So they went to Philip. We want to see Jesus. It's a festival time. Jesus is in Jerusalem. Everywhere there are people. And naturally, these people want to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Both of them were friends. "Hey, some people from my village want to see Jesus. What can we do?" So Philip and Andrew went to Jesus and said, "Sir, some Greeks want to see Jesus." Now the question comes to us, why did they want to see Jesus? Why did they want to see Jesus? In John's Gospel, John records seven miracles of Jesus, seven signs. He doesn't want to use the word miracle because he strongly feels that every miracle points to Jesus. So they are signs, signboards. What are those miracles or signs? Turning water into wine, healing the noble man's son, healing the invalid man at Bethsaida, at the poolside, feeding 5,000, walking on the water, raising Lazarus from the dead, and healing born blind. Seven miracles. These Greeks came to see Jesus. Why? Why they want to see Jesus? It appears that they are not sick. Are they sick that they wanted Jesus to heal them? They came to see Jesus. And Jesus immediately says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. His name has gone everywhere. He is getting popularity. People are knowing him, and people are coming to him. And he says, the hour has come. I need to be glorified. Glory in John's gospel is his cross. I need to be glorified. People are coming, but they have to see me hanging on the cross. You want to see Jesus? Do you want to see Jesus? Do I want to see Jesus? How do I know that the reason why I want to see Jesus? How do I know the reason why I want to see Jesus? Look at your prayers. Your prayers will tell you why you want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. We all want to see Jesus. We are all followers of Jesus. But the question is, why do you want to see him? What is the reason? Look at your prayers. When I look at my prayers, when I was growing as a child, I asked for a bike. When I was studying as a student, I asked for good grades. When I came to a certain age, I asked for a good partner. When I look at my prayer has got to-do list. I want to see Jesus so that these things can be fulfilled. Is that the reason I want to see Jesus? I remember a generous donor. He had a relationship with a theological student. This truly happened when I was in Bangalore. So this theological student would meet him every now and then. He would tell the generous donor that I want this. First he said, I want a laptop computer. The donor purchased the laptop for him. Then the second time when he met, he wanted a mobile, so he purchased it for him. The third time when he met, he wanted a camera, he purchased for him. And he went on asking more and more and more. And at some point, this donor said, this boy or this student doesn't want me, he wants more than me. He didn't want me, he wants more than me. Is that the way we come to Jesus? The questions that are there with me is, are we consumers of Jesus' life, or are we participants of Jesus' life? A very important question. Are we the consumers of Jesus' life, or are we participants of Jesus' life? Jesus says, see me on the cross. He says that I have come for you. I have come to lay down my life for you. I have crossed all the barriers to be part of you. Don't use and throw me. Come and be part of my life. Be participant of my life. Look at me at the cross. Are we the consumers of Jesus' life, or are we participants of Jesus' life? We celebrate Holy Communion just to remind ourselves that we are participating in the life of Jesus. Now, in this passage, Jesus also says very beautifully, I want to read verses 27 and 28. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. My soul is troubled. He became human like us, so his soul is troubled. He says, shall I slip away from this moment? Shall I run away from this moment? No, not at all. For this moment I have come. This is my defining moment. I need to be glorified. Very beautifully said, I have come to give my life for you. Be part of my life. If you be part of my life, then only you will know the reason why I have come into this world. There is a temptation to go away from that moment. Jesus says, no, for this moment I have come. You know, we have this temptation also. We have Easter coming. But Easter comes after Good Friday. We want to avoid Good Friday. We don't want to see Jesus on the cross. We just want to celebrate his resurrection. Jesus says, look at me on the cross. Paul expresses it in two different ways. The first expression I will say now, and when we come to the next point, I'll talk about the second expression. The first expression Paul says is, Jesus was crucified for me. That we all need to understand. Take it. Jesus was crucified for me. What does that mean? He dying on the cross saved me from condemnation and sin. He dying on the cross relieved me from the bondage of sin. He paid the price. He did it everything so that I no longer under condemnation. He paid the price. Paul talks about it. You are bought for a price, and the price was Jesus dying on the cross. He paid the price. Jesus was crucified for me. That's a very important expression, because that's where he took my place, my punishment in my place, in our place, took that punishment, because I am not able to bear that punishment. If I was to be punished, I can't do it. He did it for me. Now let's move on. Now Jesus in this passage says, if you want to see life in you, if you want to see I to live in you, then you have to die yourself. So that's what he says. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it. Do you want me to live in you? Then you have to allow yourself to be crucified. You have to allow yourself to die with me. I was helping a man who messed up his life. It's a true incident, but let me leave his name unnamed, and also the sin that he has committed. He committed a sin, and because of that sin, he was asked to resign, and he was without a job. And I had some good contacts, so I got him a job because he was into a particular sin. So I arranged a counselor because I was not able to handle that particular issue. So I arranged a counselor, raising funds to pay the counselor. I arranged everything. And this man went and attended the counseling sessions, I think three or four. And the counselor called me and he told me that, look, nothing is going to go. He is not serious. Money is raised for that help. A job is found. And I was a little upset. So I called him to the church where I was working. Late in the night, around 10 o'clock, I called him and I confronted him. I gave him a hard time. I knew all the details, so I confronted him. He started weeping. He kept on weeping. He wept and wept and wept. But in all that, I could not see him repenting or coming out. He wanted to somehow go away from the church. He did not want to stay in my presence. I will handle it, Harrison. Leave me. Wanting to go away. Wanting to slip away. Soul searching means soul troubling. Soul troubling means self-dying. Raise your hand. I cannot do it, O Lord. I need you. I am willing to die. I cannot handle myself. Take me on the cross. Let me be crucified with you. That has to come in order to see Jesus to live in you. We all have comfort zones. As soon as we are cornered, as soon as we come to a difficult spot, we simply slip away and go to another place. Soul searching is soul troubling. It is self-dying, dying on the cross. And Jesus says, if you want me to see living in you, you have to die on the cross with me. Paul talks about in this second expression, which is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You have to give up. You have to allow yourself to be crucified. Another illustration that I want to bring, probably that illustration will help you further. This is a true incident again. If you live in 1960s, and if I ask you this question, which country would dominate in the world, which country in the world dominate in watchmaking? If I ask this question, you will all say that. Which country in 1960s would dominate watchmaking? Switzerland. Very good. And they were making a lot of money. 65% of the watches were made in Switzerland at that time. Many, many companies, many workers. In 1980, 62,000 workers were working in watchmaking industry. Their own man, Swiss man, came up with quartz, a new technology. But these watchmakers said, nothing doing, this will not work. They are good in mainspring, knobs, gears. They are smart in making all these spare parts. They simply could not believe that this technology would work. How can watch run without gears? How can watch run without those springs? They did not want to accept this technology. In that year alone, 1980-1981, 50,000 of those watchmakers out of 62,000 lost their job. Seiko company picked it up and they made a lot of money. Unwilling to die, unwilling to give ourselves. Jesus says, if you want to see me living in you, die. Give yourself to be crucified. So two expressions. Jesus was crucified for me. Yes, he paid the price. And Jesus wants us to look at him in that capacity. And then Jesus is, the second expression is, I am crucified with Christ, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. I will finish with this illustration. N.T. Wright used this illustration, very beautiful illustration. This has truly happened. It happened in a Catholic church. Three teenage boys went to this church and they went to the confession box and made fun with the priest who was inside the confession box. They made mockery. They ridiculed him and made fun of him. So the priest was so gentle. He came out of the box and two boys ran away, but he caught hold of one of the boys. And he said, okay, now you stand. You do one thing for me. He said, go inside the church. See the cross. You know, in Catholic Church, they have the crucifix. See the crucifix and say this three times. What he should say? Jesus, you did all that for me, and I do not care that much. Jesus, you did it all that for me, and I do not care that much. Say three times and come back. So now this boy was all alone. He could not run away. So he said, okay, I'll do that. So he went inside the church, knelt down before the cross, and he started saying, you did all that for me, and I do not care that much. He said two times. The third time, he could not say, and he broke down. That boy later became an archbishop. If cross is not appealing to you, may I ask you to say this prayer? May I ask you to go and sit all alone in your house and say this to yourself? You have done all this for me. I don't care. Say this. Then you will know what is the power of it. Cross is the center of our faith. You cannot be the consumer of Jesus' life. You have to come and participate in Jesus. May the dear Lord help us so that we not only participate in his life, but we see ourselves be crucified in him. God bless us all. Amen.